not by might or not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We're glad for you that's here tonight and back tomorrow night if you can. I was thinking when they was talking about the Constitution of the United States, I was thinking about how our forefathers got together and hammered out a Constitution for a godly nation. And you know, these men wasn't all the same denomination. I read about them, some were different denominations, Methodists or whatever, but they got together, and for the benefit of us, they hammered out a Constitution, which is still going today so far. They want to change it, you know. Change is good if it's the right thing. We're supposed to be changing into the same image of God from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, and the workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they shall increase into more ungodliness, and their words shall eat as a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, here's what I want to talk about. Nevertheless, the foundation, see, this Constitution is our foundation. You build laws on the foundation, which is the Constitution. Man knows this here Bible is our Constitution. And we can build lives on this Constitution. This is a Constitution. It's something that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, that wasn't easy to do, was it? That was hard to do. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. Now, Paul said, shun profane and vain babblings, they will increase into more ungodliness. Their words eat like a canker, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, Paul also said in another writing, he said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. Now, I have really been studying the Bible lately on two words, godly or ungodly. See, these forefathers wanted a godly nation. We pledge allegiance to the flag and to Christ every Sunday here, as a godly nation. Now, I'm persuaded to believe, after much studying this, I tell you, it just got so big, I can't hardly handle it with my mind anymore, because the Bible is full of it, and many people overlook it. But I believe that godly is a state that we ought to all be in, and then we be content. But I believe if everything gets to be ungodly, how many thinks that Paul was in a godly prison? No, he wasn't in a godly prison, but he made it godly before he got out of there. You see, things are not godly that we get into, but they'll become godly through us and Jesus Christ. And the only way we'll go, we have to go after that Constitution, that thing that God left behind for us, His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I can see how godliness, I begin to think about godly. Of course, we always think of Psalms 1 when we think of godly and ungodly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, set in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who is that? The godly. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that floats around from place. I don't know, I guess you've got them over in Illinois too. We got folks around here that floats from church to church. They're just like the chaff, and everywhere they go, leave a little stink behind. But I want you to know, godly people don't do that. We're going to have to get back to the state of godliness. Now, God created man in the image of God. How many believes if God didn't make an ungodly man?
I can see him there, as it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27, as he began to get some clay, and he began to mold that man after God's image. Then in Genesis 2, 7, he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Male and female made he them. Now they had a godly family. They were created of God, the man and the wife, and they were godly. See, godliness, God wants a godly nation, but you see, there's godly families, there's godly churches, and there's some ungodly churches today. Now, if it ain't godly, it's ungodly. Somebody told me one time, said, well, they're a nice fella, they pay their tithes, they come to church, they don't never make no move for God, but what do you think about that person? I said, they're ungodly. No, that shook you, didn't it? Did that rattle your cage? He said, what grounds have you got to go with that? I said, the Bible said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And if we're not born again, we can't be godly until God comes in to our life and we're born again. Then when we get the Holy Ghost, we're more godly because that's the third person in the triune God. And I believe that every one of us ought to seek God until we're more godly and stay filled. We have Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you really got godliness in your life if you've got that. Can you say amen? So, here's this man. He made him in his image. Now, in the image of God made him male and female. I'm going to read you a few things that I jotted down. The godly people, now Adam and Eve, remember, when they sinned, they ran from God. They hid themselves in the tree. So here's the way you discern godly and ungodly. The godly can't wait till it's church time. Oh, I want to get there. That's godly. The ungodly can't wait till the service is over. That's what Adam and Eve done. They changed from godly. You ever think about that before? They changed from godly to ungodly because they disobeyed the Word of God. The churches today are disobeying the Word of God. Facts of the matter is they're changing the Word of God to fit them. And so therefore we've got ungodliness in the church by the score. I'm talking about we've got everything in the church trying to build a church on ungodliness and carnality. Now carnality is also ungodly. Your carnal mind's ungodly. I'll get there. The godly run to meet God. The ungodly run and hide from God. The godly speak the truth in love. The ungodly speak evil in secret. See, people don't examine people. Are they godly or ungodly? Now, I know I love the word godly or holy and unholy. That's part of it. That's part of godliness. Righteousness and unrighteousness. It's His righteousness, ain't it? So all these fit up to what I'm talking about, a state that we get into. We're either in the state of godliness or we're in the state of ungodliness. We're either born again or we're not born again. We're either good or we're evil. There is no gray in hairy in there. It said you can be partly good and partly bad, partly godly and partly ungodly. No, it's not in there. Huh? Godly speak the truth. Godly, Romans 8 and 6, listen to what he said. He said to be carnally minded is what? Death. Now death is not what God gave us, so that's ungodly. When we die, it happened because in Adam all have sinned, and in Adam all die, but in Christ all what? Are made alive. So death come because of ungodliness. All this thing is coming because a state of people wants to live in an ungodly state instead of getting down to business with God and live a righteous and a holy life and partaking of the godly nature that God put in us to begin with. He put in us a godly nature. When He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, the Spirit. Now we might say too, the state of spirit, soul and body, these have an order to operate in. My spirit man contacts God. No man could come to God except the Spirit drawing. How many got that?
The Spirit has to draw me. The Spirit has to draw you. No man can get there except by the Spirit. All right? Then the soul, It takes its orders from the Spirit. But the Spirit takes its order from God. And then the soul takes its order from Spirit, if it's operating right. But if it's not operating right, it's budging around here and there. Then the flesh has to take orders from my soul. My mind tells my flesh what to do. See, we got to get our house in order. And it's not just the house that you live in. It's this house right here that the spirit man lives in. We've got to get it in order. And if we've not got our spirit, soul, and body in order, we're in a mess. The soul must answer to the spirit. The body must answer to the soul. And the spirit must answer to God.
Because God was the one who gave it. It's not your life anyway, is it? I said, oh, it's my life. I'll do what I want to with it. It don't hurt nobody. But, oh, boy, I like to preach to them kind. Huh?
No, it's his life. And we crucify him anew and set him at an open shame when we backslide, get away from God. What brings us to a godliness? The washing of the water by the word, and the word of God brings us to godliness.
It helps us to live. We wash. But the washing of the water by the word. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I want you to bear in mind and write it down on a piece of paper, godly or ungodly. That's the two states you're going to be categorized in. Godly or ungodly. That's the state. State of mind, state of our soul, state of our spirit man, and the state of our body. Huh? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said that the whole spirit,
soul and body, all of them, be found what? Blameless. That's godly. Be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. God is going to require something of people one of these days, and they're not going to be able to produce what he requires. He requires our soul, that we would be washed by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, Ephesians chapter 5, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. God is going to require this of us, his church. Somebody said, I go to church. Yeah, but are you godly? Somebody said, I do this and I do that, but are we godly? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul says here in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. Only godly people can do that. Paul said, well, I wasn't a fancy preacher. It wasn't that people really loved it. They didn't just fall for it immediately, everybody. He said, my speech and my preaching, it wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. But what did he say? But in demonstration of the Spirit, and the power thereof. So power comes with godly. Paul said it wasn't my preaching that done it. It wasn't enticing. It wasn't a great message. It just had something behind it called power. He said, if my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men. How many knows more? Lots of people today just
listening to the wisdom of men. They forgot that old preacher that they don't think can preach. Because he's not fancy enough with words.
It's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it demonstrates. Everywhere he goes, those kind of preachers, and everywhere that people go that's godly in that manner, signs follow them. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they lay hands upon the sick, they shall cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. Then he goes on down verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now we're going to go to work. Get your Bible, look. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man
what God hath prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed it to us by his what? Now who are these people? Is that just church people? This is godly people. Godly people. We're talking about godly people. And you know, there, you can fool a lot of people if you've got man's wisdom, but I'm going to tell you one thing. That's about over. There ain't many more rabbits they can pull out of the hat and many more junk that they can pull out and say this is God, because we've seen it all, haven't we? I've seen all kinds of fake stuff. But boy, when the power is demonstrated, when the authority of God is given his authority to the godly, because you see, Adam and Eve brought over in an ungodly state. Remember? Don't you eat of that tree. So they both ate of it. And what'd they do? They had the signs of the ungodly. They ran and hid themselves when God came through the garden. And, you know, God said the fig leaves are not enough. The aprons are not enough. It's going to take an animal with a blood sacrifice to cover your sin to get back to be godly. There is a way. How many knows the way? Jesus said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. I am the constitution. I am the foundation. And the foundation of God stand assured. He's the cornerstone. He lines the foundation up. He got everything in order. He is the way. He is the godly route that we can look at. Follow me, say. Follow me. I wonder how many people could really honestly say, follow me and I'll lead you to God. Right? Follow me. Jesus said that. So let's go a little bit further here. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Who is us? The godly. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searcheth deep things of God. You know, there's a lot of folks need to get a little deep. We preached Peter, James, and John in a sailboat long enough. We've got to get down into something here that has power behind it. And you're going to have the Spirit of God to exercise that power. It can't work without the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, people don't want to conform to these things of God. Romans 12:1-2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're all sitting here tonight hunting the perfect will of God, what would you think it would be for you?
The perfect will of God. Let's all say it. For me to be godly. That's God's perfect will.
For you to be godly. Somebody said, yeah, but so-and-so does it. Well, I don't make it godly. That you be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Who's he talking to? The godly.
How many knows that sometimes people, if they don't watch it, they let their mind roam on over onto ungodly. If you don't watch it, your past will come up. Now, you can't do nothing about your past, but you sure got control of the future if you're serving this God that I'm talking about. Then be godly. You got control of it. Control of it.
Now let's go a little bit further. But God has revealed him to us by his Spirit. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him?
See, you know the spirit of man if the spirit of man's in there.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
So it takes the Spirit of God in you to be godly. So you'll know the things of God. He says here, you don't know the things of God. Is that what that says? Or I'm preaching out of context? Listen to it.
Now, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, what is the things that God gives us?
Let's go ahead and say it. God gives us godly things. Somebody said, the Lord gave me that Cadillac. He didn't do no such thing. He might influence some man to hear from God and give you the Cadillac. But I ain't never seen anybody passed out a Cadillac from God.
But we can be ungodly and not know it. God has freely given us what? Let's read that again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Let's say it again. The things that are given to me is godly things, so I can be godly. He gives you all these things so you can be godly. Let's go a little deeper. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but of the Holy Ghost, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, here's what we've really got here. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. So here we find that the carnal mind gives us what? Death. But the spiritual mind gives us what? And life came from who? From God, who breathed it in the nostrils of man. Man became a living soul. Now he should be living godly. And you see, Jesus, he died upon the cross because he was the instrument to bring us to God. He's the mediator between man and God, and he was the Son of God. It says in St. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. He did not give you darkness. He did not give you death. Somebody said, it's appointed man one today. But who made the appointment? We did. Under Pop Adam's way of doing things. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That tells you right there, it takes God
in you to make you godly so you can discern things. Spiritual discernment comes in a godly manner. Huh? Somebody don't get drunk on Saturday night and jump up and come to church on Sunday discerning spiritual things. He may have a hangover.
The only thing he discerns is conviction. And that's what people don't want in the church today, because God brings conviction. I've preached the gospel for 55 years, and I'll say 40-some of that has been evangelistic. And everywhere I've went, the only way you can have revival, the only way you can see a move of God, is get people under conviction. And nobody wants to do that anymore. You've got to get under conviction. Now, it doesn't mean condemnation. What does Romans 8:1 say? Huh? There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who are them that's in Christ Jesus? The godly. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in the church. Why, Jesus, see, I told you that. No, I've done that on purpose. It's not going to be done in the church. It's going to be done in who? Us. Who? Who is us? The God. There ain't no way I've got to pin down. Now, if you just take that out there and pin somebody else down, and just pin somebody else down, your church will begin to grow. A lot of churches sitting around full of old grouchy, grumpy people, and they have a social club and stuff like that, and it ain't a thing godly about it. They feel pretty good after they get done having their social things and all those kind of things. But I'll tell you, we need something that makes us feel good all time. Don't get in a hurry. A lot of folks get in a hurry and miss God. And then verse 14 said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the spiritually discerned means that they're godly discerned. Why do I know that? Because God is a what? God is a Spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, a lot of folks don't even know how to worship God anymore. They think you're jumping up and down to rock music. That's, boy, that's spirit. It's a whole lot of noise and a whole lot of flesh. But we're not seeking after the flesh. Let's go just a little bit further. We've got to get our judgment back. Godly people can judge back. That don't mean that we judge people to hell and all those kind of things, but we can judge things round about. Is that God or is that ungodly? See, everybody ought to know that. We ought to all be able to judge that. Is that God? Well, does it look like God? Does it act like God? Does it speak like God? Well, if it's got all the attributes, it's probably God. But if it ain't, it's probably not God. Somebody said, I'm in doubt, don't know which way to go. When you get the godly spirit on the inside of you, you'll know things by the spirit. Not by might or by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Listen what else. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. They're foolish things. But he that spiritual judgeth, how many things? All things. It's the spirit that's in you. Yet he himself is judged in no man. You know why? Because they don't know you. They'll talk about you, they'll hate you, they'll curse you. And the closer you get to God, the worse it's going to get. More people are going to hate you. More people are going to talk about you. Closer to God. And after a while, they say he's crazy. After a while, he's a fanatic. They said on the day of Pentecost, they're drunk. Peter said, these are not drunken as you suppose. And I want you to know the power of faith. These are not drunken as you suppose. Acts chapter 2, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. He said, there's power in this. It ain't a bottle of whiskey, it ain't a glass of wine. There's power in this. It's godly power. It's the godly wine. It's the godly spirit. It's God. Priests begin to fall down, to give their hearts to God and begin to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, it turned Jerusalem upside down. 19 nations heard them speaking in their language there.
He said, boy, I know this has to be God. That fella's an Arabian. He don't know Judy.
Language.
Israel talk. He doesn't know that. It has to be God. It has to be God. Listen, we need to realize one thing. It has to be God. You better be sure everything you do is God. It's God. It's God. And it says, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the what? Okay, then what kind of mind do we have? Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind being you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He had the mind of God. I've come to a complete state that the way we divide things in this day, it's either godly or ungodly. It is or it ain't. Is it? Is all the things you see Christians do, is that godly? No, they do it through ignorance a lot because they've not been taught. They've not been taught that it's important. I'm going to tell you here tonight, the most important thing that you need here to leave this building with tonight is God and His power. Huh? Because you'll have it tomorrow. You'll have it next week. Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And the most important thing, that we become saturated with God, filled with God, and our mind becomes godly. You know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. What is free? Godly. The godly are free. The bound are not free. Those that are bound in their sins are not free. It takes godliness. Carnal mind is ungodly. Your fleshly nature is ungodly. How many knows we need patience? Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Wanting nothing. See, we can get in a hurry. Impatience. You have to add what? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance what? How many knows what that is? If you add virtue, that's godly. Temperance is godly. That's a godly temperance. It's a patience. One young preacher told me one time, said, I've waited on God long enough, I'm going to do something even if it is wrong. And boy, did he make a mess. It took years to get him straightened out. So he got in a hurry. God don't move on your schedule. He didn't move for the priests when they crossed the Red Sea till the soles of their feet touched the waters, and then they divided. They had to do that. Had to wait. Can you see them? Well, it's going to be deep. It's going to be, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. And when the waters touched the soles of their feet, divided, and all of them went across on dry ground. What was that? That was a godly demonstration of men that dared to put God to the test. God to the test. We can act godly. You know, people's got where they can act pretty good anymore. They're good actors in the church. And I told them here when I was here a couple of years ago, pastoring here, I said, now, actors in the pulpit produces what? Actors in the congregation. See, they're watching us. If we get up here acting, why, they're going to start acting. Actors in the pulpit, actors on the platform produce actors in the congregation. We don't need actors. We need things that really act with the Word of God. Man become a godly creature with the life of God in him. He was in charge of God's garden, but he had to be godly. He lost control when he got where he's ungodly. And everything in the garden, he was control of it. He could eat everything, live everything, the fruits, the vegetables, the trees, except that one. He was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He can't mix it. Let me tell you something. When you start mixing it, is when you really get in trouble. That's when you come up with giants. They got giants because they mixed. They mixed. Said about Ishmael, said he'll be a wild man. That ain't godly. They got Muhammad. They got a God, all right, but it ain't the God we serve. He'll be a wild man. The day he eat of that tree, he would surely die. God deals with life and promotes life in all manner of things. Anything that God deals with, it's got life in it. Anything the devil deals with, it's death. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Man disobeyed God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That day his spirit of life died in him. That's why he has to be born again, because he done exactly that spirit of life died in him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You got to be recreated in there. Sometimes that takes a little while. It's longer for some than it does others. And so I'm going to quit right here, and I'm going to leave this with you. Don't dabble with the things that's ungodly. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't get in a hurry. Take a time. If you're getting a sermon ready, this will be for you young preachers. Don't be afraid to spend two or three hours and preach it to yourself a few times before you preach it to the congregation. I always preach my message to myself one or two times before I preach it to you. If I don't like it, I have to get straightened out too then, don't I? We used to have an old preacher down in Donovan. All his saying was this. He said, if you don't like it, it won't take so much to do it. But you see, we get where we love. I'm talking to people that love the Word of God tonight. I'm talking about people that's searching for more godliness, not less. I'm talking to people that's trying to find a way, a greater way.